Well, we're returning tonight to our subject, Profile of the Obsessed, which is chapter 8 in Francis Chan's book, Crazy Love. And last time we defined the word obsessed, and we basically said it means to have the mind excessively preoccupied with a single emotion or topic. Our daily desire as believers, as followers of Christ, is to be excessively preoccupied with Jesus Christ and His Word. You agree with that? And so we pointed out last time the characteristics of those who are obsessed with Christ. And here's what we said last time. We said that those who are obsessed with Christ are consumed with Christ, and they faithfully live out His words. They're consumed with Him, and they faithfully, every day, seek to live out His word. Secondly, we said they're not just nice, friendly, and kind, but they also love those who have hurt them. That's where true love gets the test, is when people hurt us and you're able to love your enemies, as Christ says in Matthew chapter 5. They are also risk takers. They don't just live for personal comfort, but they're willing to take the risk. They don't hold on to security. They're not consumed with their personal safety or their comfort, but they care more about God's kingdom coming to this earth. And they're also viewed by the world as crazy, hence the title of this book, though that's not what he means by the title, but you might as well put that there as well. We are considered by many as crazy. They don't understand us. 1 John 3 tells us that the world does not know us. They just have a hard time understanding anything about us. They mock us, they ridicule us because they don't understand us, and they don't have the Holy Spirit. And so we care more about the kingdom of God coming to this earth. We care more about God's will. Those who are obsessed with Christ are also humble. They're humble. They know that the sin of pride is always a battle, so they seek to make themselves less known and Christ more known. They have the attitude that John the Baptist had when it was time for him to decrease, and he said in John 3:30, he must increase and I must decrease. They're quick to give God glory and never take it for themselves. And so that's what we looked at in our time together last week, which is the first half of chapter 8 in Francis Chan's book. And now I want to pick up where we left off and cover the rest of that chapter. Like I've said in the many times we've been together now, that if you have the book and you're reading it, then you're going to get, obviously, a lot of things from your personal reading, and this is just hopefully going to enhance that and draw out some more things off what you're reading. If you don't have the book and you're not reading it, or you do have the book and you're not reading either one, then you should still be able to gain from our time together, because the way that my desire is to do these studies is to have them be standalone studies, whether you have the book or not. But I do want to point out some other characteristics that he mentions in the book. The first one is this. He says, a person who is obsessed thinks about heaven frequently. Obsessed people orient their lives around eternity. They're not fixed only on what is here in front of them. And immediately, I was thinking of Philippians chapter 3. So let me have you to turn to Philippians chapter 3. And there in verse 17, down through verse 21, he talks very importantly about the kind of examples that we are following. He tells us why that we are to follow good examples and not bad examples. And he tells us that our citizenship is in heaven. And listen to what he says about this. He says, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. So he begins there in verse 17 by telling them to follow examples. And then he mentions his own. He says, join in following my example. And that phrase right there is actually one word in the Greek text, which literally means be fellow imitators of me. And he's not just saying, join me in imitating Christ. He's actually saying, follow my example. Do exactly what I am doing. Look in chapter 4 and verse 9, and he kind of picks up on the same thing. He says, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Do what I'm doing. Because I'm following Christ, he says, imitate that. Imitate my example. And of course, as he says this, he also mentions others that they were to follow. He says in verse 17, and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Paul's not the only one that was pursuing Christ's likeness. He now references others who were doing what he was doing. And if you look in the book of Philippians, you'd notice in chapter 1, verse 1, he mentions Timothy. He mentions the overseers and deacons. In chapter 2 and verse 25, he mentions Epaphroditus. Chapter 4 and verse 2, he mentions Euodia and Syntyche. In chapter 4 and verse 3, he mentions Clement. These are people that he names that are doing what he's doing. And he wanted the Philippians to observe them. In fact, the word he uses to observe means to fix their gaze upon them. And then when you look down at verse 18 and 19, he now talks about those that they are not to follow. In fact, he refers to them really as enemies, and he says that you are to flee enemies because they set a bad example, and they are also going to face destruction. And then when you get down to verse 20 and 21, he urges them to fix their expectations on the return of Christ. Since their citizenship is in heaven, they needed to set their minds on things above, as Colossians 3:2 says. And those who are obsessed with Christ, they're basically looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. They're looking for the return of Christ. They're living each day thinking about eternity. They're thinking about heaven. They have their mind set on things above, not just on things on the earth. Obviously, as you're married, you care about the things of the earth, things of the world. And I was talking to someone the other day, and I said, listen, you know, being single, you're able to do even greater things than a married person can do because you don't have all the responsibilities on you to care for other people. All you basically have to worry about is yourself. You know, you can pretty much go where you need to go and do what you need to do for the kingdom of God. But yet a married person, though he tries to do that, he still has to think about his family and can't just run off and do whatever he wants to do and head over into countries and nations and places like that without considering his family. But again, their minds are preoccupied with heaven. They think about heaven frequently. They orient their lives around eternity. And just like Abraham, Hebrews 11:10 says, he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And that describes an obsessed person, one who is obsessed with Jesus Christ. They have set their mind, they have set their heart upon him. They have set their mind and heart on heaven. They're fixed on heaven. And as the days become more and more evil, heaven becomes more and more precious. As their sin becomes more and more evident, heaven becomes more and more precious, right? To have to fight this flesh constantly, that's one of the things that will be gone when we're in heaven. We will have perfect bodies, perfect minds, perfect everything. We won't have to fight any illnesses or diseases. We won't have to fight even unbelief. We won't have to fight doubt. We won't have to fight sin of any kind because we'll be perfect. Perfect. Praise the Lord for that. Notice the second characteristic. A person who is obsessed is characterized by committed, settled, passionate love for God above and before every other thing and every other being. When you hear a statement like that, who in the New Testament do you think about? You may come up with different names. I immediately came up with the Apostle Paul. I mean, think about him. Out of the 27 books in the New Testament, he authored 13 of them. We have a lot of information about Paul. And also think about as hard as he fought Christianity in the beginning, after he became a Christian, he fought so hard to follow after Christ, and he wanted to be found faithful. So that very energy that he had, that he poured into persecuting Christians, when he got saved, he had that same energy moving toward Christ and moving toward Christ-likeness and moving toward leading others to Christ-likeness. And if you're still in Philippians, look there at verse 12. Notice what he says, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus." This gives us right here some insight that he just didn't, you know, focus on certain things in his life or get hung up with what happened yesterday. No, he focused in on running after Christ. He focused in on laying hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Look at verse 13. "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." He's like the athlete. He's in the marathon. He's running. He's had the baton passed to him. He's seeking to carry it faithfully before passing it off to someone else. He's running for the prize. He's not running and looking at the sidelines and thinking, "Oh, it'd be more comfortable to get off this path, to be able to sit down, to be able to rest." He ran hard all the way to the end of his life. You know, and there's that temptation to not always run hard, you know? And that's why I think about him as someone who was characterized by being committed, by being settled. No one could move him off what he knew. He says, "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded he is able to keep me until that day." He had a passionate love for God. His passionate love for God was above and before every other thing and every other person, every other being. He was so passionately in love with Christ. John MacArthur, he says that when talking about Paul, he was schooled in Tarsus, also born there. He had a consummate Greek education. He had a consummate Jewish education. He got all of the credentials to move around in the Roman world. His father was a Roman citizen, and that made him one, and yet. And he has all the Jewishness that gives him access to that whole area. And so he is marvelously prepared. And he becomes a zealous Jew, extremely zealous, utterly committed to Judaism that he was given. And in fact, in Philippians 3:5, it says that he was circumcised the eighth day. He was of the stock of Israel. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And as touching the law, he was a Pharisee. And you couldn't get more committed than that. He had zeal to the place where he began to persecute the church. And as touching the righteousness which was in the Jewish law, he was blameless. He was a first-class legalist that kept the law. That's what he was before he came to Christ. And after coming to Christ, he had the same zeal, the same passion for Christ, the same love, but just this time not a legalistic kind of love, but a true transformed heart, right? He fought the followers of Christ before becoming one himself. Then again, he spent the rest of his life preaching the gospel of repentance to Christ, and he became the primary instrument in the expansion of the gospel to the Gentiles. In fact, if you were to look at his 13 letters to the various churches in the individuals, it contains the most thorough and deliberate theological formulations of the New Testament. So when you hear this command in Deuteronomy 6:5, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, we see that in Paul. And our goal as people who follow Christ certainly should be no less than becoming people who are madly in love with God. That's what we're striving after. And we want to get our emotions to fall in line too, don't we? I mean, we don't want to be driven by emotions, but we want to have emotion. You know, we may have correct doctrine, and our emotions are like way over here. And we need to get everything. There needs to be a balance right there between our minds and our will and our emotions. So those who are obsessed with Christ, they have the same kind of passion. They pursue the same kind of passion. Notice the third characteristic. People who are obsessed are raw with God. They do not attempt to mask the ugliness of their sins or their failures. Obsessed people don't put it on for God. He is their safe place where they can be at peace. Now, when I read that, obviously, you have to ask a question like this. Who in your life do you have that you're able to be open with? Hopefully, you can with your spouse. But if you're single, who do you have to be open with? Are you open with your parents? Well, it tends to be as time moves on, that doesn't always happen. Hopefully, there's a best friend. It's usually the people that are influencers in our life that we're opening up to, whether they're good or bad. You know, the drunk uses the bartender to whom he opens up to. And in some cases, the bar becomes better off in letting people open up than the church does, because the fear is many times in opening up to someone in the church, it's going to become tomorrow's headlines. So many times we don't open up because of that fear. And the only way you can stop something like that is that everybody together in a one united spirit has to fight against gossip. So that is, you know, when someone shares something with you, it's protected. You know, you're keeping that in honor. Well, one of the characteristics about the Psalms is the openness of the psalmist to God. Let's look at a few of those Psalms. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 3. It's just 8 verses there in Psalm 3, and this is one of the Psalms that gives David's lament, but it also gives David's confidence as well. And I don't know if you've ever felt like this before. Here, this psalm is when he fled from Absalom, who was trying to kill him and take his kingdom. But I mean, just listen to some of the words that he mentions here. He says, "O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. But you, Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept. I woke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have smitten all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people." And if you'll notice in the first 3 verses, what does he do? Or the first 2 verses, he pours out his lament before the Lord. He's open with the Lord. Listen, if you can't be open with the Lord, you can't be open with really anybody. He knows everything about you, right? But then, like you say, in verse 3 and down to verse 8, he picks up his confidence. Look at chapter 6. Here's another psalm. And this psalm is a prayer for mercy in his time of trouble. It's a very intensive lament. In fact, his circumstances in this psalm seem very hopeless. Listen to what it says. "O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O God, for I am pining away. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are dismayed, and my soul is greatly dismayed. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, rescue my soul. Save me because of your loving kindness. For there is no mention of you in death. In Sheol, who will give you thanks? I am weary with my sighing. Every night I make my bed swim. I dissolve my couch with my tears. My eye has wasted away with grief. It has become old because of all of my adversaries. Depart from me, all you who do iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord receives my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and greatly dismayed. They shall turn back, and they will suddenly be ashamed." You see how it kind of builds a little bit there? That it seems like it's really kind of hopeless, though he's calling upon the Lord, who he knows who can deliver him. But again, it's another psalm of lament. It's another psalm pointing out his openness. Go forward with me into chapter 32. In chapter 32, we find here what happened when he didn't confess his sin, when he held back, when he covered it, and also what happened when he stopped covering it. We get a little insight here. He says, verse 1, "How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. And this is what you can say and proclaim about the Lord when you confess your sin, because you experience the forgiveness of his sin. And then he tells us what happened when he kept silent. He says, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I mean, he was falling apart. Listen, when you have guilt, which is, you know, from sin, and that guilt there, you're holding on to that, one, because you won't confess that sin and be forgiven by a merciful God. This stuff causes you to waste away. This stuff affects you even physically, as he talks about his body was wasting away. You take on so many physical problems, you know, when we don't confess our sin. This is why the world doesn't want to hear about Jesus, because hearing about Jesus and hearing about the gospel and hearing about a gospel of repentance, they have to deal with the guilt of their sin, and they'd rather push that aside. They'd rather not deal with that. They'd rather have their conscience seared. But look what happens, verse 5. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you did what? You forgave the guilt of my sin. See, he's identifying there what was going on in verses 3 and 4. The guilt was eating him up. Over in Psalm 69, go to Psalm 69. You find in that psalm, you hear a psalm of desperation. And as the psalmist here, the psalm of David, listen how he starts out. He says here, save me, O God, for the waters have threatened my life. I have sunk in deep mire, and there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and a flood overflows me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is parched. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. Those who would destroy me are powerful, being wrongfully my enemies. What did I not steal? I then have to restore. Oh God, it is you who knows my folly, and my wrongs are not hidden from you. May those who wait for you not be ashamed through me, O Lord God of hosts. May those who seek you not be dishonored through me, O God of Israel, because for your sake I have borne reproach. Dishonor has covered my face. I have become estranged from my brothers and an alien to my mother's sons, for zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. When I wept in my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. Those who sit in the gate talk about me, and I am the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, at the acceptable time. O God, in the greatness of your loving kindness, answer me with your saving truth. Deliver me from the mire, and do not let me sink. May I be delivered from my foes and from the deep waters. May the flood of water not overflow me, nor the deep swallow me up, nor the pit shut its mouth on me. Answer me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. According to the greatness of your compassion, turn to me, and do not hide your face from your servant, for I am quickly in distress. Answer me quickly. O draw near to my soul and redeem it. Ransom me because of my enemies. You know my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. All my adversaries are before you. Reproach has broken my heart. I am so sick, and I looked for sympathy, but there was none. As for comforters, but I found none. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. And there's a messianic psalm. May their table before them become a snare, and when they are in place or in peace, may it become a trap. May their eyes grow dim so they cannot see, and make their loins shake continually. Pour out your indignation on them, and may your burning anger overtake them. May their camp be desolate, may none dwell in their tents, for they have persecuted him whom you yourself have smitten. And they tell of the pain of those whom you have wounded, and iniquity to their iniquity, that they may not come into your righteousness. And I mean, he just goes on and on and on. And basically, it turns into a precatory psalm to where he calls for God to basically take care of his enemies. But it starts out really as a psalm of desperation. I mean, he mentions right there that he is in distress. And he's crying out to God for him to answer him. And see, when you think about those who are obsessed with Christ, as Francis Chan says, they are raw with God. They don't attempt to mask the ugliness of their sins. They don't attempt to mask their failures. They're not trying to put on something for God. They're being open and honest. They're being unhypocritical. So think about this. One who's obsessed with Christ, he thinks constantly of heaven. He lives for eternity. He's committed. He's passionate. He's in love with God above everyone and all things. He is genuine and he is unhypocritical. It's basically Romans 12. Notice a fourth characteristic. People who are obsessed with God have an intimate relationship with him. They are nourished by God's word throughout the day because they know that 40 minutes on Sunday is not enough to sustain them for a whole week, especially when they will encounter so many distractions and alternative messages. The average Christian in the United States spends 10 minutes per day with God. 10 minutes. Meanwhile, the average American spends over 4 hours a day watching television. And it doesn't have to be TV. It could be anything else. I mean, some of you may not even watch TV. You know, you may spend time in other things. But the question is, what about your time and what about your resources? How much money is spent on yourself and how much money is directed toward God's kingdom? That's one of the questions that is asked in this chapter. Another question is this: how much time is dedicated to pursuing your life and your goals, and how much is focused on God's work and purposes? I mean, do you run around going, well, I have my career, I have my thing that I do, but how much do you invest in the kingdom of God? I like what he says here. God doesn't want religious duty. He doesn't want a distracted, half-hearted, fine, I'll read a chapter, now are you happy attitude. That's not what he's interested in. He wants his word to be a delight in us. So much so that we meditate on it day and night. God told Joshua in Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." He wanted him to meditate on it day and night. Even the psalmist in Psalm chapter 1, the first three verses, he tells us how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. What does he say? He says here, the truly blessed person is one who meditates in the word of God, the law of the Lord, day and night. It's constantly on his mind. Instead of the habit of meditating on God and his word, many times we fill our minds with whatever appeals to our flesh. And again, David said, Psalm 4:4, "Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still." He said in Psalm 19:14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." What's the meditation of your heart? Is it God? Is it his word, so that in night to you may be careful to do all that is to do according, for then you will be written in it, prosperous, and make your way prosperous, then you will have success. He wanted him to meditate on it day, meditate on night, even he And the psalmist, in the first three verses, chapter 1, tells us, is the man, how blessed in the counsel who does not walk, nor stand of the wicked, sinners, in the path of seat of scoffer, nor sit in the his delight is hers, but his Lord, and in the law of the Lord, he meditates in his law night, day, and night, like a tree firm, and he will be like streams of firmly planted, which yields its water, with season and its leaf, fruit and its seed, and in what does not wither, he prospers. Whatever he does, hey, he says, what is he truly blessed? Says here, the true person is blessed, person meditates, one who meditates the word of God, in the word, day, law of the Lord, and night, mind. It's constantly on his mind. Instead of the habit of meditating word on God and his word, many times, with whatever we fill our minds to our flesh, appeal to our flesh. And again, David 4:4, it said, some sin, meditate, tremble, and do not upon your bed, meditate in your heart, be still. And he said in Psalm 14, let Psalm 19, mouth, the words of my meditation of my heart, and the meditable heart be excite, O Lord, in your sight, my rock, and my, O Lord, Redeemer, my, what's the heart? Meditation of your heart. His word, is it God, is it and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. He wanted him to meditate on it day and night. Even the psalmist in Psalm chapter 1, the first three verses, he tells us how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. What does he say? He says here, the truly blessed person is one who meditates in the word of God, the law of the Lord, day and night. It's constantly on his mind. Instead of the habit of meditating on God and his word, many times we fill our minds with whatever appeals to our flesh. And again, David said, Psalm 4:4, tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. He said in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. What's the meditation of your heart? Is it God? Is it his word, so that and night to you may be careful to do all that is to do according, for then you will be written in it prosperous and make your way prosperous. Then you will have success. He wanted him to meditate day, meditate on night, even day and night. The psalmist in the first three verses, chapter 1, tells us, is the man how blessed in the counsel who does not walk nor stand of the wicked, sinners, in the path of seat of scoffer, nor sit in the his delight is hers, but his Lord, and in the law of the Lord he meditates in his law night, day, and night, like a tree firm, and he will be like streams of firmly planted, which yields its water, with season and its leaf, fruit and its cedar, and in what does not wither, he prospers. Whatever he does, hey, he says, what is he truly blessed? Says here, the true person is blessed, person meditates, one who meditates the word of God, in the word, day, law of the Lord, in night, mind. It's constantly on his mind. Instead of the habit of meditating word on God and his word, many times with whatever we fill our minds to our flesh, appeal to our flesh. And again, David 4:4, it said, some sin, meditate, tremble, and do not upon your bed, meditate in your heart, be still. And he said in Psalm 14, let Psalm 19, mouth, the words of my meditation of my heart, and the meditable heart be excite, O Lord, in your sight, my rock, and my, O Lord, Redeemer, my, what's the heart? Meditation of your heart. His word, is it God, is it and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. He wanted him to meditate, but what do we meditate on it day and night? Even the psalmist in Psalm chapter 1, the first three verses, he tells us how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. and he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. What does he say? He says here, the truly blessed person is one who meditates in the word of God, the law of the Lord, day and night. It's constantly on his mind. Instead of the habit of meditating on God and his word, many times we fill our minds with whatever appeals to our flesh. And again, David said, Psalm 4:4, tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. He said in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. What's the meditation of your heart? Is it God? Is it his word? So that in night to you may be careful, do all that is to do according, for then you will be written in it, prosperous, and make your way prosperous. Then you will have success. He wanted him to meditate on it. But what do we in it day? The psalmist in night, even in chapter 1, in Psalm 6, he's telling the first three verses how blessed tells us who does not walk is the man of the wicked, walk in the counsel, in the path of sin, nor stand, nor sit in the sinners, but his seat of scoffers in the law of the Lord. His delight is in his law, his Lord, and his day and night he meditates, and he will be light, firmly planted like a tree, firm water, with by streams of fruit in its seed, which yields its fruit, does not wither, and its leaf, whatever he does, there, and in words. What does he say? He prospers here, the truth say. He says, personally blessed one who meditates is in the word, meditates, law of the Lord, word of God, the night, day, constantly on his mind. Instead of the habit of meditating, of meditating on God and his word, we fill our mind many times appeals with whatever flesh appeals to our flesh. David said, some, and again, David, tremble and do not for trait in your heart sin, meditate and upon your bed. Be still. Psalm 19, he said in Psalm, the words of my 14, let when you encounter, and the meditation mouth, heart, be acceptation of my heart, in your acceptable, O Lord, light, O law, my rock and redeemer. Meditation of your heart. What's the heart? Is it God? Is it? So that his word to and night, to do all that is, you may be careful, for then you will to do according to spirit and written in it, have make your way prosper. Then you will have, he wanted him to make success, meditate on he and. But what about the psalmist, day, chapter 1, night, even verses he tells in Psalm, how blessed in the first three verses, who does not walls us of the wicked, is the man in the path of sin, the counsel, nor sit in the nor standers, but his sinners, in the law of the seat of scoffer, in his law, his delight is day and night, Lord, and he will be like, he meditates, firmly planted by night, water, with, like a tree, firm fruit in its seed, by streams of does not wither, which yields its whatever he does, season and its leafers. What does he say? And in what says here, the truth he prospers per se. He says, one who truly blessed in the word is law of the Lord, meditates in night. Word of God, the constantly on his word, day mind. Instead of the habit of meditating on God and his word, of meditating, we fill our mind word. Appeal many times flesh with whatever appeals to our flesh. It said, some tremble and do not. And again, meditate in your heart for tread and sin, meditate upon your bed. Psalm 19, be still. The words of my, he said in Psalm, when you encounter 14, let mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. What's the meditation of your heart? Is it God? Is it his word, so that in night to you may be careful, do all that is to do according, for then you will be written in it, prosperous, and make your way prosperous. Then you will have success. He wanted him to meditate on it. But what do we in it day? The psalmist in night, even in chapter 1, in Psalm 6, he's telling the first three verses how blessed tells us who does not walk is the man of the wicked, walk in the counsel, in the path of sin, nor stand, nor sit in the sinners, but his seat of scoffers in the law of the Lord. His delight is in his law, his Lord, and his day and night he meditates, and he will be light, firmly planted like a tree, firm water, with by streams of fruit in its seed, which yields its fruit, does not wither, and its leaf, whatever he does, there, and in words. What does he say? He prospers here, the truth say. He says, personally blessed one who meditates is in the word, meditates, law of the Lord, word of God, the night, day, constantly on his mine. Instead of the habit of meditating on God and His Word, we fill our mind many times with appeals with whatever flesh appeals to our flesh. David said, and again, David, tremble and do not for trait in your heart sin, meditate and upon your bed. Be still. Psalm 19, he said in Psalm, the words of my 14, let when you encounter, and the meditate mouth, heart, be acceptation of my heart. In your acceptable, O Lord, light, O law, my rock and redeemer. Meditation of your heart. What's the heart? Is it God? Is it? So that his word to and night, to do all that is, you may be careful, for then you will to do according to prosperous and written in it, have so make your way prosperous. Then you will have, he wanted him to make success. Meditate on he and. But what about the psalmist, day from chapter 1, night, even as he tells in Psalm, how blessed in the first three verses, who does not walls us of the wicked, is the man in the path of in the counsel, nor sit in the, nor standers, but his sinners, in the law of the seed of scoffer, in his law, his delight is day and night, Lord, and he will be like, he meditates, firmly planted by night, water with mine, and if like a tree fruit in its seed by streams of does not wither, which yields its whatever he does, season and its leaves. What does he say? And in what is here the truth he prospers per se. He said one who truly blessed in the person is law of the Lord meditates in night. Word of God, the Lord constantly on his word day mine. Instead of the habit of meditating on God and his word of meditate, we fill our mind word appeal. Many times, flesh with whatever appeals to our flesh. It said, "Some tremble and do not." And again, David, hate in your heart for tread and sin. Meditate upon your bed. Psalm 19, be still. The words of my he said in Psalm when you encounter 14, let mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. What's the meditation of your heart? Is it God? Is it His word? So that and night to you may be careful to do all that is to do according for then you will be written in it prosperous and make your way prosperous then you will have success. He wanted him to meditate on, but what do we in it day the psalmist and night even in chapter 1 and psalmist he's telling the first three verses how blessed tells us who does not walk is the man of the wicked walk in the counsel in the path of nor stand nor sit in the sinners but his seat of scoffer. Are you in the law of the Lord? His delight is in his law, he Lord, and his day and night he meditates, and he will be light, firmly planted by mine, and if water with fruit in its seed, like a tree first does not wither, by streams of whatever he does, which yields its furs. What is he season in its leaves? He says here, the truth, and in what purse he prospers one who may say. He says, in the truly blessed law of the Lord, sin is in night. He meditates constantly on his word of God, the Lord, day. Instead of the habit of mine, meditating on God and His word. Instead of meditating, we fill our mind with appeal word flesh. Many times with whatever it said, some fools to our flesh. Tremble and do not meditate in your heart. And again, David, and sin, meditate on 19 upon your bed. The words of my be still when you encounter. He said in Psalm mouth 14, meditation of my heart and the meditable heart be excite, O law, in your sight, my rock and my, O Lord, redeemer. My, what's the heart? Meditation of your heart. His word, is it God? Is it in night? So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success. He wanted him to meditate on it day and night. Even the psalmist in Psalm chapter 1, the first three verses, he tells us how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but hid in the law of the Lord. Are you in his law? His delight is day and night, Lord, and he will be like, he meditates firmly planted by night, water with mine, and if like a tree fruit in its seed by streams of does not wither, which yields its whatever he does, season and its leaves. What does he say? And in what is here the truth he prospers per se. He said, one who truly blessed in the person is law of the Lord, meditates in night. Word of God, the Lord constantly on his word, day mine. Instead of the habit of meditating on God and his word, of meditate, we fill our mind word appeal. Many times, flesh with whatever appeals to our flesh. It said, some tremble and do not. And again, meditate in your heart, 4:4, tread and sin, meditate upon your bed. Psalm 19, be still. The words of my, he said in Psalm, when you encounter 14, let mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. What's the meditation of your heart? Is it God? Is it his word? So that and night to you may be careful, do all that is to do according, for then you will be written in it, prosperous, and make your way prosperous. Then you will have success. He wanted him to meditate on it. But what do we and it day the psalmist night? Even in chapter 1, and Psalms says he's telling the first three verses, how blessed tells us who does not walk is the man of the wicked, walk in the counsel in the path of sin, nor stand nor sit in the sinners, but his seat of scoffer. Are you in the law of the Lord? His delight is in his law, his Lord, and his day and night he meditates, and he will be light, firmly planted vine, and if water with fruit in its seed, like a tree first does not with by streams of whatever he does, which yields its spurs. What is he season in its leaf? He says here, the truther, and in what purse he prosper, one who may say. He said, in the truly blessed law of the Lord, sin is in night. He meditates constantly on his word of God, the Lord, day. Instead of the habit of mine, meditating on God and his word, instead of meditating, we fill our mind appeal.